the edge of our hope, at the end of our time. We've chosen not only to believe in ourselves, but in each other. Today we face the monsters that are at our door. Today we are canceling the apocalypse.
Now get the hell out of our galaxy.
The strength of this starship lay in its diversity.
You see, our glorious diversity, that is not a threat to who we are. It makes us who we are.
You don't just let things happen. You make a stand. You say no. You have the guts to do what's right when everyone else just runs away.
But we must fight this darkness that is threatening to engulf us. Each of us must be a ray of hope.
Rebellions are built on hope.
Welcome to the Skiffy and Fanti Show.
It took a moment before I lost myself in here. Torture cinema, the core.
I'm Sean.
I'm Alex.
I'm Paul.
I'm Jen.
And we're here for Torture Cinema. It's gonna be awesome, y'all. Yay. That was so, I got really excited, and then you all just ganked me. You ganked me with no reaction whatsoever, guys. Come on.
No, I had a stony-faced reaction to your Rocky opening.
The first pun of the night! Yes!
Okay, well, anyway, we're here to talk about The Core, which you all picked, so thank you for that.
Yeah, fuck you, people.
We should note right off the bat, because this is really important for this episode, that this is Alex's favorite movie of all time, no matter what they says after they end this sentence. Favorite movie of all time.
Hot Fuzz is the greatest movie ever made. Don't listen to Sean Duke. He lies like Donald Trump.
Oh. Oh. Ouch.
Oh, snap.
Yeah, I went there. I fucking went there.
I'm having a bad day, Alex, and you really went there. That's just...
Do not pull the sympathy card.
I feel like I should be allowed to this whole podcast.
That wasn't nice of you, Alex. You really gave him the shist.
That's why I'm there. I am not your rock to lean on, Sean.
Oh, Christ.
I am magmatic with rage.
This is just going to be nonstop rock puns.
This is kind of a shaky start.
Okay, let's just get to what we're drinking.
I think we need to experience a tectonic shift in our thinking here.
I love you all.
Okay, so Jen, what are you drinking?
I mean, Sean, I love you, but it's your fault.
Fucking goddamn it!
You did this to yourself! You should have let me sleep!
Okay, calm.
Alright, Jen, what are you drinking?
I am drinking a combination of things. I'm on my second Guinness Extra Stout, recording this on St. Patrick's Day. And then my husband was kind enough to purchase more stout and some hard cider, which poured together make one of the most delicious beverages of all time, which I think is called a snake bite. Don't quote me on that.
No, that is correct. That is called a snake bite.
Excellent. And it is delicious. I haven't touched it yet. It has a better head than Paul Ryan's pint had, so I think it'll be good.
Beautiful.
I'm sorry, that sentence just did not... Whoa, what?
Oh my god, you didn't see... Oh my god. Oh my god.
You didn't see it. So, everybody who's paying attention to the travesty that is the Irish-US relations over the past couple days will understand what I just referred to.
I missed something. So. Yeah. Because that sentence was very dirty in my mind.
Very dirty.
Yeah.
We'll send you some Twitter links, Sean, and you can sort of you can stand aghast at the horrors as well.
Yeah, I think listeners at this point know they're in for an adventure, because this is just going to be an insane podcast. Yeah. So, all right, Paul, what are you drinking, sir?
Something rather sedate. It's actually Harbinger tea.
That sounds delicious.
That does sound very nice. Soothing.
It's nice and sweet. I need it after today.
Aww.
Alex, what are you drinking?
So I am drinking, once again, my normal leftover tea from work with amaretto in it, except they didn't have normal amaretto. All they had was this weird raspberry amaretto, which is actually super good in black tea.
Yeah, it sounds delicious.
It is quite tasty. And then as a chaser for when I finish with the booze tea, which I will shortly, I have a pint of Razzmatazz, which is a stout with some raspberry in it from the local microbrewery, which is Cocapelli, and it's run entirely by women. And that's where we go do pub quiz.
I envy your ability to consume raspberries.
Oh, that is... Oh, do you have an allergy? That's sad.
I have an allergy to raspberries.
Oh!
You should get that fixed.
If only, Sean. If only.
Well, I mean, it's a well-known fact that all allergies can be cured with a inoculation dispensed with an unobtainium needle.
This is true. This is true.
Because unobtainium turns allergies into energy.
So I have to say that I think one of my favorite things about this unobtainium is that Alex has already said in the interview that won't be coming out for a couple weeks after this one, that their substance is referred to as hand wavium.
Yes.
So I was giggling my butt off at the unobtainium reference.
Isn't unobtainium also in that stupid Avatar movie?
Yes, it is.
Well, this came before Avatar.
It is apparently something that has been used in engineering for a very, very, very long time.
Wait, this is actually a term in engineering?
Yes.
Yeah.
What moron came up with that?
It's for theoretical substances.
Sean, do we have to, like, rehash the whole, like, and, you know, apparently engineers and liberal arts thing?
No.
Please, no. No.
No, we don't. I find that the idea that somebody actually named something unobtainium just absurd.
Yeah, no, I think it's actually been used since, like, 1917, I think, was one of the early references.
Engineers.
Well, no, scientists come up with joke name shit all the time.
Yeah, but come up with something clever.
It is! That's actually the one clever joke in this entire movie, I think, is the fact that he named it unobtainium, because he knows, and the people who wrote this know, it's bullshit.
It's unobtainable? Is that what you're saying?
It's magic material for the plot.
It's hand wavium.
It's hand wavium.
All right. Well, I am drinking, then, diet root beer with some sort of rum that I'm pretty sure is not actually real legit rum, because it came in a plastic bottle. So I don't know how much is in here, but half of it is gone, so we're good.
Yeah, that is a good way to start a podcast on a bad movie, with a half-empty bottle of rum.
I would agree.
I didn't drink half a bottle of rum. Half of my mixed drink is gone.
Oh.
What the? Do you think I've been sitting here chugging a bottle of rum? A plastic bottle of rum, mind you.
I wouldn't blame you. That's all I'm saying. I would not blame you, given this movie.
Okay.
This shite movie. I'm getting my Irish on because we're recording it on St. Patrick's Day. This movie is shite. Jesus. It's shite.
I think Alex needs to give us the description of this movie.
So Alex has to take on that mantle of drilling through the crust of the plot?
Jesus God almighty.
In the drill-do. As I've taken to calling it.
Did you just say drill-do?
I did, because I am a writer and I'm good with words, Duke.
Is that what you named the ship?
Yes.
Is that the Virgil? It's the drill-do?
It's the drill-do. I mean, all of these shots of the ship lovingly penetrating CGI landscapes.
Oh, no. It's a very phallic film.
It is excessively. Oh.
Well, then what do you make of the scene with the whales, like, fondling it, then?
Sean, do we really need to get into this now? Like, I can send you some videos later if you're not sure the meaning.
I'm just saying that scene changes when you think of
well,
it as
I
a
mean,
drill,
are they
though.
Sperm whales?
No, they're humpbacks.
No, you did. Alex, please scratch this movie before I die.
We've broke Paul.
Well, Paul, I'm glad you asked. This movie is about a planet that looks like the Earth, but is not actually like the Earth, that lives in a universe that has physical laws completely unlike our own. And for reasons poorly explained, a douchebag causes the core to stop spinning. More on that later. Therefore, all life is going to end like a really shitty demonstration that involves an aerosol can and a lighter. So they decide the way to fix this is by sticking a giant dildo into the Earth. Down to her juicy core and exploding, and that will jumpstart the core again, and all life will be saved.
Oh God!
There's montages about a quasi ensemble cast, and oh, I'm sorry, spoilers, but like all of the interesting characters die, and then the movie ends with a giant tumor whose sperm has all been cooked with radiation trying to fuck an astronaut. The end.
Okay. So hold on.
No, that's a pretty much a complete description of this movie. No,
I'm not challenging the description. I want clarification from Alec. Essentially, what you're saying is that this is a movie about men literally fucking the Earth and ruining its inside.
Okay, wait. I think you're giving this movie too much credit, because if that's what this movie is about, that's actually kind of brilliant.
Yeah. It's about a douchey guy within the military-industrial complex ruining everything. So then the military-industrial complex is like, let us make an even bigger explosion and that will fix everything. But the U.S. is in charge, so it's okay. I see it as more of a socio-political commentary as opposed to a extremely gendered commentary, despite the drildo.
Despite the drildo. Freud would have a heyday with this movie.
Oh God, yes.
Accurate.
If there would be a whole book, it would just be about all of our unconscious desires and the absence of the penis and penis envy and castration complex and Oedipus and all that shit. It would just be like all of it combined.
If you think about what happens to the ship, yeah.
Yeah, true.
It gets, but it only gets partially castrated. They still keep the tip.
Why, yes, listeners, today we are doing our very best to earn our mature rating with more than just swears.
Just the tip.
Which is inhabited by a woman and a man made entirely out of cancer. And, you know, thus they are reaffirming the heterosexual thing, but then men are a cancer, so we could almost pull a feminist reading out of it.
Like, this last year's, like, was it Sam J. Miller that wrote a sort of queer retelling of the John Carpenter movie, The Thing? I think he did. I think he wrote a queer retelling of that. There needs to be, like, a feminist retelling of this movie.
Get right on that, listeners, because I'm not volunteering.
I am not qualified.
No, I'm staying away from that with a 10-foot pole.
Oh, man. Pole, that's good. Okay, all right, well then I guess we gotta dive into this movie.
Like the drildo entering the crust.
oh god no,
who's first and what are we doing? Are we doing likes or dislikes?
We always do likes first. Like, it's just
okay,
let's just start with you, Jen.
Okay, so there were actually moments in this movie that resembled a good movie. Unfortunately, there weren't that many of them. So, for instance, Bruce Greenwood has a pretty good, interesting talk with Hilary Swank's character, where he talks about, you know, it's not about ability, it's about responsibility in terms of leadership, and you can't be a leader until you've lost. That was a good moment.
Followed immediately by a bad moment.
Followed literally immediately almost by a bad moment, yeah. And then later, Cheick Ikario, who I love, because there were four people in this movie that were amazing, and as Alex mentioned earlier, they all died.
Except for Alfre Woodard. She did not die.
That's true.
Stickley lived,
thank goodness. But Cheick Ikario, who plays Serge, the French scientist, nuclear weapons expert. I don't actually know what he was. He has a nice moment when he talks about how he, you know, saving the entire world is too overwhelming, so he just wants to save three people, which is his wife and two children. If you take away 95% of this movie, it's actually a really good movie. It's got some really nice script points. Unfortunately, that's only 5% of the movie, so the other 95% still sucks. But I did appreciate it for, I mean, like the speech that Bruce Greenwood gives to Hillary, in no way, and I think they actually did a good job of this kind of overall, even though other points reduced Hillary Swank to the very gendered assistant of the douchey scientist. Most of the time, her role wasn't actually particularly dismissively gendered as female. They ruined that, of course, with a couple of very gendered moments where it ruins everything. But the rest of the time, like I said, when Bruce Greenwood is talking to her, he doesn't dismiss her because she's female. It's because she's really good at what she does. So I appreciated that, and I like that. And I really did like those couple of moments that were a little bit more serious and genuine. Sadly, I think there were only two of them. So there's that.
Got it. So basically, your two favorite scenes were Bruce Greenwood giving life advice and Aaron Eckhart playing a trumpet at Rocks.
What? Wait.
Those are your favorite scenes. That's what I heard.
I think you misheard me on that second part.
I think that's the most serious part of the whole movie.
Oh my god, that demonstration was so dumb.
I don't know, man. That sounds legit science to me.
A legit science, I'm sure.
Yeah, that's what I think people in the geology department do all day, is they just, like, make sounds at rocks and see what happens.
It's like, you play some smooth jazz.
Yeah, if that's what you guys do, I totally should have gone into geology.
Look, limestone appreciates smooth jazz. However, you got granite, it wants ska music. These are things you learn in geology, right? So...
Totally.
Is that true, Alex? I feel like granite would actually maybe like some heavy metal.
Yeah, actually, you're right on the heavy metal, because it's a much harder rock than limestone.
You'd be surprised. Obsidian's more into that rock. Sort of stuff.
Obsidian is very brittle, so obsidian is more like emo.
Yeah, Nirvana.
Totes.
Oh.
Yeah.
No, that's grunge. Emo and grunge are different, Paul.
So, grunge would be like toof, so it's like, you know, just basically made out of ash particles.
I don't even know what word you just said.
Toof, T-U-F-F.
The fuck is toof?
Have you never taken a geology course?
Never.
No! What in the previous... Hold up, pause. What in the last 5 minutes of this podcast made you think that I've ever been in a geology classroom?
I don't know.
A lot of people take geology because they think it's easy. It's not.
I know it's not. You gotta learn some shit.
I wanted a well-rounded science education in addition to my biology, so I took geology, among other things. I also took some chemistry, some organic chemistry, so yeah, I took a geology course.
Sean and I were liberal arts majors.
Which means if they'd gone into a science classroom, they would have instantly failed and gotten thrown out of school!
Exactly.
If you don't know what's going on, with this keeps coming up, Alex keeps saying this, is that some turd muffin on Twitter was making an argument that liberal arts people would fail if they took STEM classes, but anyone in STEM could get an A in a liberal arts class, and it led to him getting yelled at quite a lot by a lot of people.
Even though it's true, I would have failed a STEM class.
I was an evolutionary biologist before I became a liberal arts kid.
I did not know that.
And I didn't leave because I failed classes. I left because chemistry is stupid.
I was actually a computer science major.
Yeah, that totally counts.
But anyway, shall we move on?
I guess so.
Okay, quick aside for the listeners out there. What toof is it's a kind of rock that's made from ashfall. So, like, if you go to the Bandelier National Monument in New Mexico, there's a formation called the Bandelier Toof that is hundreds of feet thick that is just all of the solidified ash that came from the Vias Caldera when it erupted. And the cool thing about Toof is it's like super, super light, and you can like kind of like carve into it with your fingernails. So when you go to Bandolier, there's like all of these dwellings that were made by, God, I feel bad that I don't remember which tribe it was, but it was the Native American tribe that lived in that area, where they basically just dug back into the Toof because it was super soft and made like really neat houses in it.
I need to go here.
Oh, yeah, you should go there because you would get some amazing pictures.
Yep. Putting it on the to-do list.
Yes.
I mean, the only place I've been in New Mexico was Capulin Volcano, which was cool, but...
Capulin is very cool. I liked it. And you can also... That's not too far from Spanish Peaks, and you should go there too, because that has, like, these dike complexes like the Devil's Staircase.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Yeah. See, we're talking about happy things and not this dumb movie.
So let's get back to the movie. There's plenty for us to discuss.
The movie that had absolutely no accurate geology in it whatsoever that I am aware of.
We'll get to that later, I'm sure. I'm sure Alex will have a rant, and I will have a counter rant in which I explain why their science is incorrect.
I can't wait. It's going to be amazing.
But you just remember, this is how things work now. It's like, whenever we have a debate, you guys always have two sides. Period.
That's true, and they must be equally weighted.
Equally weighted, and one of them will be full of alternate fact.
Exactly.
You know, I can't help it what Alex is going to bring to the table, but, you know.
Whose turn is it?
It's Paul's turn.
It's my turn. I have to pick a like, don't die. Okay. I will go with Stanley Tucci's over-the-top, sneak-tunery, spoiler, villain, Dr. Zimsky.
Oh.
No, that's a legit like. He was amazing.
No, it's not.
He was amazing. He comes off as like a cross between Richard Dawkins and evil Carl Sagan. He even gets called out as like, are you, at one point, what's his name? The inventor of the spaceship?
Delroy Lindo.
Delroy Lindo calls out, are you going to do that Carl Sagan narration bullshit for this entire trip?
Yeah, because Stanley Tucci's character is literally sitting there narrating their experience like he's writing his next fucking book.
Yeah, it sounds like the worst episode of Cosmos ever. I mean, I wonder if the makers of this film saw Carl Sagan and thought, let's make an evil version of him who's really a douchebag and get Stanley Tucci to buy in for it. And Stanley Tucci took the role and says, I can do that!
Because Stanley Tucci is the king of chewing scenery. One of them, anyway.
I mean, you see them out in the desert, they're all carrying beat-up stuff, and he's all dressed all up nice and fine and designer luggage and... He thinks Aaron Harcourt's character is trying to get his autograph. It's even funny. Even his death scene is funny, where he's finally had his transformative moment, and the sacrifice because, well, nuclear weapons kill him, and he gets trapped in the last portion of the ship as he goes off. There he is narrating his death, and then he finally realizes 3 seconds before the bomb goes off that this is a bad idea. It's like, what the heck am I doing? And laughs as blows up. So it took up to 3 seconds for his death to realize what he actually was. But he actually had that realization before he died, so I appreciate it.
Plus scenery chewing.
Hard agree with Paul, yeah.
I completely disagree.
Zimsky was a total fucking douchebag.
Who steals Delroy Lindo's research.
That was never confirmed.
Well, and I mean... Like, the only thing that really would have made Zimsky the douche canoe better is if he had gotten to live instead of fucking Keyes, and then we could have, like, actually had some character development as he becomes the man made entirely out of cancer.
Here's the thing, though. I don't think that actually would have developed his character. I think it actually would have somehow, like, reestablished to himself that he was a god among men. And he would have just become a bigger dude.
True.
Not to mention that would have meant a romance between his character and Beck, and that would be bad.
Oh no, Beck! There's no way.
Yeah, there's no fucking way.
No.
Yeah, you say that, and yet Beck apparently liked Keyes. So
because Keyes isn't a total douche.
No, I would argue that Beck really didn't like Keyes because they had so little chemistry that you could just be like, oh. I guess the script and the blocking we rehearsed says that now we must occupy the same approximate space.
That one kiss was probably the most awkward thing I have ever seen in a movie.
Well, the kiss doesn't make any sense. The rest of it I didn't have an issue with.
It was absurd, But it was just like, I guess we're supposed to, like, kiss now?
Our mouth holes should go together in this moment of jubilation.
They were like, oh, the script says we have to put some heterosexuality in here because otherwise the Drildo is too gay, so I guess since you are male and I am female, we will kiss. Like, seriously.
They could have cut that out because there isn't any reason for, like, the rest of their relationship isn't inherently romantic. So if you just take that out, it's like, it's fine. It's just a nice development for their relationship, and they end and they just kind of...
Yeah, like they're colleagues and, you know, they're teammates, but then it gets weird.
They have like a close friendly moment, and that's all it is. But they have the weird kiss. It's very confusing. However, I will say that I don't agree that they didn't have chemistry. I think that the story did a shitty job of it, but I think that there's clearly meant to be a friendly chemistry between them.
Friendly chemistry.
Just look at their body language. You know, their body language is the actors clearly aren't buying it.
Well, the actors might not be, but the story is strongly suggesting that they're supposed to be.
The story is suggesting that they're supposed to be romantically chemistry-ish.
I don't even know if the story is convinced of that.
Oh my god, Sean, there's an entire dumb scene for no reason where Beck is standing around and Keyes doesn't have his shirt on. Because.
Chemistry.
It's Aaron Eckhart. He was, at this moment, the poor man's Thomas Jane, before Thomas Jane became the poor man's Aaron Eckhart.
Aaron Eckhart. But now Thomas Jane is on The Expanse, or was, and he was amazing, so.
So it might switch around again. Aaron Eckhart might become the poor man's Thomas Jane. It's a weird cycle. I don't understand it, but they've planned this out for centuries, so.
So there was just like a BuzzFeed article or something that was like, you know, actors that should play sibling. And clearly, Thomas Jane and Aaron Eckhart should be in a movie in which they play siblings that are like rivals and...
And they should fight. They should fight.
With swords.
Oh my god.
With swords. Oh my god. It would be Highlander, but with brothers.
There can be only one.
Yes.
Yes.
That'd be more interesting than this movie.
Yeah, that sounds like a much better movie than The Core.
And you could decide who gets their head cut off depending on whose career is at the height when the movie's made.
Oh, God.
Beautiful.
And then when they things switch again, oh, we gotta make another one. We gotta make Brothers Highlander 2. The Quickening.
No, Sean, no.
Highlander 2, The Do-Over.
And depending on the situation for their careers, the one that was dead but is now on top again comes back as an alien on a hoverboard.
No.
On a hoverboard. Oh my god. And they fight.
God.
Beautiful.
Oh, my belly hurt.
No.
I'm okay. Patenting this right now. When Hollywood hears this and they're like, we need to make this movie. I'm producer, period.
Agents, just saying. Yeah. We come up with some great ideas in this podcast.
We really do.
Okay, Sean.
It's
turn.
Oh, is it me? Oh,
yeah.
So, I have to think of something actually that I liked. Bras, he was good.
Yeah.
He was, like, the best character, and... We're just not going to talk about his death because then this is supposed to be a like. But he was super awesome and he punched Zimsky, which means he's my favorite ever.
Totes.
That was really nice when he punched Zimsky.
I'm going to punch him again!
Yes! It was beautiful. And I just love that he was an engineer and he was super competent and he made a thing out of unobtainium and... But, you know, he apparently wasn't that good of an engineer because of the death scene, but, like...
He had to build it in 3 months. I do give him some slack.
That's true, and I do love that when everyone was like, what the fuck is this? He's like, I had to build it in 3 months! What do you want?
Yeah, it was nice that they actually, at least his death, had an explanation for why it was so absurd.
As opposed to Sergi?
It's a good explanation, too.
As opposed to Serge's death.
Serge.
And opposed to Bob's death, which was the dumbest fucking death in a movie ever.
Oh my god. Like, the thing that makes it so beautiful So I'm watching this movie with my housemate who has never seen The Core. I've already seen it, except this is the funny thing, is I never remember what happened in the back half until now because I was always too drunk when I was watching it, and now I do and I hate everything. But anyway, so like Bob is standing in front of the laser and Karina is like screaming at him like, why are you standing in front of the laser? What the fuck? What kind of moron stands in front of a laser? And you can tell she's just waiting for him to get fucking fried. And then nothing happens. And then he gets hit with rock.
Random rock.
It wasn't random. It was specially selected for him.
I mean, it was, yeah, it was like the bullet rock that had his name on it, where it somehow managed to penetrate his super awesome suit that lets him survive in the geode. How many kilometers fucking down, and then...
Oh, like, that's the part that you're like, oh, that's not believable. But when fucking Delroy Lindo's in his suit, and they're like, it's 9,000 degrees, our suits can handle half that. But he can fucking walk around? Are you fucking kidding me?
Oh, no, no, his entire death was awful.
We're like, still on likes. We're trying really hard to give likes right now.
Bras was good. He was the best character other than Stickley. And Stickley was amazing, at least Stickley lived.
Fair enough.
And I liked Beck, except for the part where she wants to fuck a human tomb.
And apparently is reduced to fixing pie.
Well, that's at the beginning. She's not reduced to it at the end.
No. The thing that made me so angry about, like, that is when... I don't even fucking remember what Keys did. Oh, it was the thing with the oxygen. And Beck is like, that's the bravest thing I've ever seen anyone do. And I'm like, you landed the fucking space shuttle! Are you serious?
Right?
Technically, she didn't land it. She was just sitting there.
She came up with the course!
Just like a woman!
No, I'm just saying that technically she wasn't the one that did the landing itself.
Do not mansplain her heroics to us, Duke. I will come through this mic and I will strangle you.
Uh-oh.
Jesus. Wow. That's not very nice.
I will hold Jen's purse.
It's not very nice. I know. We'll hopefully get to the core of your like next, Sean.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
And we know that Sean's like is all of the geology puns.
No. My like is very special. It's the only reason I am on this podcast, given what kind of a day I have had. And it is really simple. You guys ready for this?
Yeah.
My like is that this movie pisses Alex off to no end.
That's not a legitimate like.
It is. If I can say that the Tree Guild is a legitimate like for a movie with trees in it, specifically New Moon, the fucking Twilight New Moon, as a legitimate like, I am legitimately allowed to do this.
You were legitimately allowed to do that, but I think the best one was the Grass Guild. Was it the Grass Guild that we did for the Wicker Man?
Oh, for the Wicker Man. Yeah.
I think that was the first time you used scenery as a guild as a like.
That's true. It was the first time.
See, and I just thought that Sean's like was going to be that instead of watching the core, he actually just watched Mac and Me.
You know, it's hard for me to decide which one I would want to watch more.
Jesus. That is not a compliment to Mac and Me, dude.
I'm totally kidding. I'm kidding.
Fun fact, Sean has apparently seen this movie at least 5 times. But then again, Paul owns this movie, so really, in balance, I'm not sure which one is worse.
It's like I don't even know you people.
Let me explain myself. So, like, I'm not saying that The Core is a good movie. Okay, let me just be really clear. It's not a good movie. But it is a dumb as fuck movie. And that is sometimes very helpful when I want to go to sleep, but I don't want my brain to be thinking about anything, so I will put something like this on because it just puts me to sleep. Because it's stupid.
Is that the reason that you've watched Fantastic Four 2005 as many times as you have?
That's also been one reason I have watched that movie, because I know it is just awful and dumb. I don't watch things that require me to think when I need to go to sleep, but I can't sleep unless I watch something.
That's valid.
So a lot of the times I will watch just stupid movies that aren't good, because they're just dumb, and my brain just like, this is too dumb, and just goes off.
So The Core is an excellent sleep aid, people. You heard it here first. So does it give you like weird dreams because of all the shots of the drill dough penetrating things?
You know, I don't actually remember my dreams, but I have woken up with some interesting scenarios.
If you should have sexual arousal for more than 4 hours, please see your doctor after watching the core.
Oh, God.
Oh, that's just an image. Oh. Okay, so in all seriousness, if I have to say my actual legit, like, other than that this movie pisses off Alec, it's that I actually really just love Delroy Lindo.
That's legit.
Just the actor. Just any movie that guy is in, I just love it. He's in that Jet Li movie, the One.
Oh my God, The One is so bad! In a great way.
Wrong.
So bad! Please, people, vote for The One at some point.
No. If you guys put that shit on the list, I will fucking flip a gasket. The One is fucking great. It is a great goddamn movie, y'all.
It is wonderfully terrible.
It's wonderfully good.
Terrible.
It's fucking Jet Li fighting himself. What? He rescues a dog at the end. Like, is that not cool or what?
I haven't seen that movie in years, so I honestly can't remember. I just know it's Jet Li, and anything Jet Li is in is good. Period. Much like Delroy Lindo, where he elevates literally anything he's in.
Right, he's just fantastic. He's like, I'm a crazy engineer. I have a weird warehouse where I'm like trying to build this thing that you stole my research for. That's great. And then he's kind of kooky and he's got a bird. What's the bird's name? Is Frank, I think?
And an amazing beard. An amazing beard.
He does have an amazing beard.
He had a bird?
He had a bird. Remember, he had like was pulling off the sheet, and there's the bird, and he was like, "That's just Frank. Don't mind him." It was just a throwaway line. It was fantastic. He's got great stuff in this.
I mean, he called his material unobtainium. That was really enough for me.
It's Delroy Lindo. Like, honestly, he could have come in there and he could have just been speaking in tongues, and it would have been great.
It would have been.
My favorite Delroy Lindo role is probably in Devil's Advocate.
Does he play the devil?
No, he plays the voodoo guy.
What?
I've never seen Devil's Advocate.
You've never seen the Devil's Advocate?
Sean! Holy shit!
This is a huge hole in your cinematic education, buddy.
Is that the Keanu Reeves movie?
Yes, but ignore that. Charlize Theron is in it, and she is the sexiest woman alive. Watch it just for that, if nothing else.
Or like Delroy Lindo.
I mean, it's a one-scene wonder, but yes, he's great.
Wait, are we saying... Wait, I'm sorry, I got some wires crossed because Jen said that Charlize Theron is the sexiest woman alive, and that Alex, you said, or Delroy Lindo. So what I heard was Delroy Lindo is the sexiest woman alive.
I think Delroy Lindo could be the sexiest anything alive that he wanted to be, because I believe in him.
I mean, fair enough. He's a handsome man.
He is a good looking man.
He's in Gone in 60 Seconds. That Nick Cage movie. That is not good, but he's good.
The Nick Cage does Fast and Furious.
It's Nick Cage's Fast and Furious, oh, yeah, literally. I actually kind of like that movie, but it's not good.
Well, I mean, like so many Nick Cage movies are just like bad. So we should probably talk about the stupid ass movie that we're supposed to be talking about, though.
Okay, we'll get back. All right. Sorry, let's go to dislikes then. So, Jen.
No, don't make me go first, because everything about this movie sucked. Specific thing that I hated. I mean, I kind of already mentioned it. I think it really was that those couple of points when Hilary Swank's character was forced to play, like, babysitter to Keys.
Yeah.
It was gross. It was just fucking gross. I mean, this woman is a fucking astronaut, as Alex mentioned earlier. She's a fucking astronaut. And yet, there she is, tying a dumbass scientist tie, because he is the stereotypical awkward scientist who doesn't know how to tie his own fucking tie.
Which, I'm sorry, if he was faculty at a university, he would actually at least know how to do, like, a four-in hand knot.
Right? So, yeah, that made me angry, that they kept trying to force this awkward, you know, romance on her. It didn't happen a lot, thank goodness, but it happened often enough that it was incredibly frustrating, especially since, I mean, it's Hilary Swank, for God's sake. The fucking $1 million baby. You don't fuck with her. Not to mention Boys Don't Cry. Hello.
Was she the $1 million baby yet?
I don't know. Doesn't matter.
It literally doesn't matter, because she was a fucking astronaut, and she had to tie his goddamn tie.
Yeah, let Zimsky tie his tie. Zimsky obviously knows how to look decent.
Does he, though? He's usually just as wearing a turtleneck, though. I don't think he knows how to tie ties.
Oh my god, that's right, like the douchey intellectual turtleneck.
Yes!
Yes!
Exactly! Yeah.
He looks like he should be at, like a fucking Dead Poets Society poetry reading is what he should be at.
Yep. Because his wardrobe is just 10 black turtleneck, 10 gray jacket, and 10 gray purse.
Well, and he's got a wall in his house that's nothing but bookshelves that have books with that are all the same height. So you can pose in his turtleneck for very serious author photos.
True. True. And he has that swanky lighter.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yep. Because you gotta have that. Although I was disappointed that he didn't smoke like a cigarette on that like little plastic thing. Like a fucking Cruella de Vil shit. Yeah. That would have made his character better.
I have to admit, that would have been an extra nice touch to that character.
Damn it, Stanley Tucci, why do we have to think of everything?
Like, the only normal thing about him is that he just smokes regular cigarette. Which is stupid. They could have done something cool, he can see worse for the government. He convinced the president to get him, like, actual legit Cuban cigars.
I think they were trying to humanize him.
That might be a mistake.
Well, it failed.
Of course they failed. I don't know, but whatever. My dislike is that Hillary Swank, the fucking astronaut, shouldn't have had to tie Keyes' fucking tie. It's bullshit. The end. There were a lot of things that I really hated. Other than that, but I have to go with that one, because it was, like, the first thing that I was just like, what the, you, fuck you all. Yes, the science was bad, but I don't know science the slightest bit whatsoever, except for where the tectonic plates are, which, seriously, every child in California knows where the fucking tectonic plates are, so that was frustrating. But Hillary Swank deserved better.
Oh, you mean the gap in the tectonic plates out by Hawaii? Yeah.
What the fuck is that?
Oh, you're stealing one of my dislikes.
Sorry.
Okay. So I'm done. I'm not going to talk anymore. Paul's next.
Wait, hold on. Pause. So he had already tied his tie, and then he, like, undid it.
It's because the knot was really bad and crooked. And then, like, the military dude was like, you need to retie your tie, like, doing the subtle, like, your tie looks like shit dude signal.
Dude, you're about to give the news that, like, the world fucked. Like, of all the things, just don't wear a tie. Anyone's gonna be like, oh man, he wasn't wearing a tie. He was clearly unprofessional and incapable of saving the world.
Well, and I would say that actually it would probably be more accurate for a geologist to not be wearing a tie, because very few do. That's why they're geologists. Though I will note that Kevin Boax wears a bow tie all the time, and he's fucking awesome.
So. Wait. So the sentence, that's why they're geologists, makes me, the way I interpret that is, people become geologists because they never want to have to wear a tie.
Okay, Sean, allow me to explain something to you. I went through the geology department at the University of Colorado at Boulder, where literally you become a geologist because you can go out in the field, you know, within 10 minutes of the school by car, and you literally hike up a mountain and smoke a doobie. That's geology.
Tell me more. I think I'm going back to school.
Geology is like sitting on the side of a mountain, looking at deformation features in your metamorphic rock with a joint in one hand and a beer in the other. That's geology.
Dude, that sounds
geology
great.
Geology suddenly sounds like the sexiest fucking field to go into ever.
I don't know if I would say sexy, but
no, that's sexy. A doobie and a beer on a mountain? What the fuck?
So, like, okay, my favorite, I did several different field camps because, you know, we did field camps a little differently, but at one of them, we were staying at campsites, and my instructor, like, after everyone got their tents put up and that we're all settled in, he would just sort of wander around the campsite with, like, a bottle of wine cradled in his arm like it was a baby, and his cup. And, like, over the course of the night, the bottle of wine would slowly disappear into the cup, and then when the bottle of wine was empty, he would go to bed.
I think you just described motherhood.
Oh, dear God.
But yeah, like, If you want to know where like the good microbreweries are, you ask the geologists.
You ask English majors if you want LSD.
I can believe that. Fucking James Joyce.
The more you know.
I could get you like probably like 9 out of 10 of the illicit drugs available in town just through the English department.
You ask moms for Prozac.
That totally makes sense.
Fair.
Paul, what do you ask insurance adjusters for?
Well, you mean warranty administrators? As far as drugs? I guess Xanax.
I approve this message.
Oh my god. Listeners, I wish I could say I was sorry, but I'm not, so fuck you.
I'm trying to think of, like, other departments where you would get drugs from. Dude, I bet you, like, the chemistry department, like, makes their own, like, synthetic heroin just for fun. Dude, that explains so much. That explains so much about this university.
Well, dude, you are also at the University of Florida, man, so...
Yeah, but we just, like, snort, like, the scales of alligators, like, when we're bored.
What?
We go, yeah, you don't know what we do, like, on weekends, like, we go out into the woods and we, like, find an alligator and we, like, wrestle it. And then we take a scale off of its back and then we snort it.
I'm not gonna even question that. Just not. Paul? What is your dislike, Paul?
Okay. There is so much geology to hate in this movie.
Amen.
I'm not going to poach much of it because, well, we have Alex here and they are going to be the monarch of tearing apart all the geologist movies.
Oh, I'm going to fuck with all y'all.
Oh. Anyway, I will just pick the ill-conceived entrance and exit points and how bad the geology is of this. So let's see. So we decide to go down the Marianas Trench and into the crust that way because the ocean's crust is thinner than the crust of continents. That's true. The problem is the Marianas Trench is a convergent plate boundary. Why the hell would you want to go there? You'd want a divergent plate boundary. Like, say, the Mid-Atlantic Range might be much more logical option, much easier, and yeah, you wouldn't have the earthquakes and nearly blow up a ship before you even get into the Earth.
The mysterious whirlpool for no reason.
Oh, yes, the mysterious whirlpool. Yeah, and a convergent plate grounding? How? How? In what universe?
It was the Earth beckoning them in. Come in to me, now.
There's no mysterious whirlpools in Marianas. This is worse than Pacific Rim. At least Pacific Rim actually had an alien gate to explain some things. This doesn't have an alien gate to explain the whirlpool. Sorry. Thank you. But, okay, so then we go through all the bullshit geology inside the Earth, and then we're coming back up at rapid speeds, and yeah, don't get me started. The G-forces and the speeds that it took for them to get up there should probably have pasted them.
And the fact that unobtainium converts heat into energy suddenly.
But it didn't through half of the movie. It just did at the end.
Yeah, we decide to change the laws of thermodynamics now. In a way that even Greg Egan could write a science fiction novel and make plausible. So that's saying something. So we're burrowing up through the Earth. And it's like, oh yeah, they're coming out of a plate boundary near Hawaii. Yeah, have you looked at a plate tectonics map? Hawaii is about as far away from a plate boundary as you could possibly get. I mean, there is a hot spot there. That's legit. But they're not going up to us. They're going through a plate boundary near Hawaii. What the ever-loving fuck? It'd be like coming up through a plate boundary in Minnesota.
Beautiful. This is beautiful. You're so right about everything, and I love it.
So this reminds me of something, which is, Jen and I were talking about this before we started the podcast, but I think this is a good time to start to bring it up before Alex basically stabs me in the eye and ruins me for life. So apparently there was a review in The Guardian, or an article, an article run by a professor by the name of Sidney Perkovitz, basically about the bad science in science fiction movies, and Core was one of the films that's labeled. Apparently, hundreds of scientists have labeled The Core as, like, the worst scientifically accurate film in the world, or least scientifically, whatever, you get what I mean. And so, Sidney said this, or Mr. Perkovitz, or Dr. Perkovitz, whatever.
I'm pretty sure that Zimsky was actually based on Dr. Perkowitz.
Probably based on this quote. Sounds accurate. this quote, so I'm going to read. It says, if you violate the coherent rules of science, you are in trouble. The chances are that the public will pick up, and that is what matters to Hollywood. The Corps did not make money because people understood science was so out to lunch. And
we wish.
Yeah.
This is the thing. So we got two people who are reasonably scientifically literate, or and one person who is like a legit geologist, like Alex, obviously. And then Jen and I, who like probably could figure out how to boil water effectively, and that's about it.
But I know where the tectonic plates are because I'm from California.
Sure. I forgot that information because they sucked it out of your brain when you moved to Florida. But
yes.
But what I found interesting about this quote is just how much full of shit it is. Because just the number of films that make tons of money that are like batshit crazy with their science. And the big one is Armageddon, which made a crap ton of money and has like no science whatsoever in it.
So, okay. My best friend Kat, her husband Aki, Armageddon is like one of his favorite movies, and Kat hates it so much. And every time they have the same argument constantly, and I get to hear it, where Aki's like, but the human pathos! And Kat's like, they light a fire in space.
Exactly.
And that's like the boiling down of that movie.
At least the Corps gets the whole idea that the fire requires oxygen.
That is true. In that one singular one way,
it is more accurate than Armageddon.
So my response to this guy saying, you know, science and the public totally got this was, at one point, Zimsky says, guesswork, that's all science is, best guess.
Oh, dear God. That made me so mad.
I was like, flip the table. Oh my God, what the fuck? No wonder American distrust science so fucking much, because apparently we are fed this horseshit in our movies that are purportedly about science.
Yeah, and by the way, the actual screenwriter for the movie apparently spent like 3 years fighting to keep this movie more scientifically accurate. It was going to be even more batshit than it actually is. It was going to have, like, fucking dinosaurs and, like, guys running in spacesuits swimming in lava and shit. Like, it was going to be crazy.
Which would have made a better movie, I think.
Because if you take a movie and you just sort of say, you know what, we're not going to actually get the science, so let's just go to, like, surreal craziness, that's actually fine. Because at least at that point, you're not pretending it's real.
Well, yeah, that's the thing, is like, when you take the movie and you're basically like, hey everyone, this is just rule of cool physics, then you're like, oh, okay. The problem is when it's purporting to be in any way scientific, and then it's a complete shit show like this. But look, I will tell you why people hated this movie, and I don't really think it has anything to do with the shit-ass science, because actually, the shit-ass science makes this a very popular drinking night movie for geology departments to watch, where we just get, like, fucking blasted and eat pizza. The reason this movie was trash is because it can't figure out what kind of fucking movie it wants to be, and the pacing is terrible. The entire plot structure is absolute shit, and especially because, like, it can't decide if it wants to be, like, a deep impact level serious disaster movie, or if it wants to be, like, fucking, you know, completely out there, batshit nutty, rule of cool. Like, you can feel that there's just, like, this back and forth between it, where half the scenes are like, oh, this is super serious, and oh my God, all these people are dying, and half the scenes are like, hey, this is, like, you know, Sci-Fi Network, birds diving through the ceiling and pecking out your eyeballs because it's funny. You know, like, the movie can't fucking decide what it wants to be, and that's really exemplified by, like, how everyone has all these super fucking serious death scenes, right? And then you get to the end, and if it was gonna be, like, a super fucking serious disaster movie, then honestly, Beck and Keyes should have died. But instead they're like, oh, well, we don't have the bravery to actually commit to keeping this tonally consistent, so instead, we're going to hand wavy save our pair bonded heterosexual couple and
with whales.
With whales, and they make this miraculous escape and have a super awkward that's why everyone hates this movie, because it's a shitty movie.
Okay, so no joke, the moment when a fucking orca, like, came out of the water and, like, was like, bajah!
In Hawaii.
I was like, oh, Jesus fucking Christ. Because, like, I don't have a problem if they were like, it's the whales, but at least just keep the fucking humpbacks. Because, like, just the orcas is just like, come on, guys, this is too much. This is too much fucking whales. You're spending too much of your budget on whales you don't need.
It's yeah, and I mean, you know, I keep joking about, like, how Keyes has become a human tumor, but considering that, like, the whole dramatic thing of him being like, I'm going to pull these fuel rods out that will mysteriously explode for absolutely no fucking reason because whatever, Zimsky, blah blah blah, thermodynamics don't actually work, and this is a universe where the law of conservation of mass doesn't exist anyway. But like, so he literally pulls these fucking radioactive plutonium fuel rods out of the ship's reactor, and the radiation burns his fucking hands, and then it's like, oh yeah, he'll be fine. And I'm like, no, he's gonna fucking die of radiation poisoning within 48 hours.
I feel like that would have been fine if he had just been wearing his fucking hood, because clearly those suits were designed for batshit insane fucking temperatures and all kinds of things, but not radiation.
Temperature is not the same as radiation, and
but in this universe, it might be the same.
Well, I mean, yeah, but like, you know, Keyes should be, like, shitting all of his soft tissue out of his ass with a bunch of blood. Like, I mean, that's how he goes.
So okay, so I'm assuming, Alex, you understand radiation, right?
Yeah.
Probably better than I do, right? I have some vague notion. So, like, his hands are, like, radioactive, right?
So, okay, there's a difference between being exposed to radiation and being contaminated with radiation.
Okay. Which one is he?
He's been exposed to radiation because there's no indication that, like, dust or some other substance has like, come out. And, you know, so it's like, okay, if you ingest a radioactive substance, then you will be radioactive because it's in your body and still emitting radiation.
Like Spider-Man.
What happened to him is he was, like, near a radioactive source. So he's basically getting blasted with radiation. And you can think of radiation as, like, I mean, okay, technically speaking, if you turn on a light, the light is a sort of radiation because it's radiant energy. You know, just kind of think of it like that. And like, the light hits stuff. And that's, like, radiation hitting stuff. And where you get fucked is there are a bunch of different kinds of radiation that can...
Right, the bad kind.
That can, like, pass through your body and, like, knock bits off of your genetic code, or damage your cells, or, you know, shit like that. And that's, so, like, and it's kind of like there's you know, it's like there's some types of radiation. I want to say, oh God, please, fellow scientists, don't kill me. I've had a lot to drink. So it's like alpha particles, you can stop them with a piece of paper, like, literally.
Because they're big helium nuclei, they're easy as block.
Yeah, they're big helium nuclei, they're huge. You can shield yourself. You could hide behind a piece of paper and you'd be fine from alpha radiation. But if it's, like, got gamma rays coming out of it, you're fucked. You fucked. You so fucked.
The Hulk.
Like, yeah.
No matter
not.
What, you're fucked.
No, because if the Hulk was real, you would die, like, shitting out all of your intestinal lining.
Okay. Well, hold on. Okay. So anyway, so the question I was asking, like, I wanted to know, but based on what you're saying, just if I understand correctly, is his hands aren't really the issue. It's like himself. He's just all, like, he's just radioactive now.
No. He is not radioactive. He has been blasted with radio. So basically, you imagine it's like all of these radiation particles are just, like, blasting through him. He and himself, like, if you take him away from the radioactive source, he's not necessarily going to be a source of radioactive contamination.
But he'll be damaged from it.
Oh yeah, but he's, like, super fucked up.
That's why you say that he's a giant walking tumor. Is, yeah, that literally because of the amount of radiation in theory that he has been exposed to. He's fucked, even though he himself is not actually radioactive.
Yeah.
Got it. So, this was all, like, a desperate attempt to get to a joke that is no longer funny.
I mean, technically speaking, like, I was joking about he's a giant tumor, and honestly, like, he should actually be dead way before he has cancer, because he'll just fucking die of radiation poisoning.
Yeah.
And I was wondering whether or not his hands could be radioactive, so if he touched himself, his dick would fall off.
No.
His dick will fall off without any assistance from his hands, I promise you.
He'll just be walking along and it'll just plop.
But
it'll fall off.
It's just like down the leg of that dumbass. Like, oh, it can totally withstand 9,000 degrees or whatever fucking suit. Yeah.
He'll just have this little thing dangling at the bottom of his foot.
He just feels something down his pant leg, and he can just like lift it up and shake it out, like he thinks he dropped a turd in there, but it's actually his dick.
You just see him. He's saying to Hilary Swank's character, "I shit myself." She's like, "No, it's your dick."
There's some good news and some bad news.
It's not a shit.
I wish I knew more of the lyrics to the Detachable Penis song, because I think it would be very appropriate right now.
Oh, super appropriate.
So was that your dislike, Alex?
No, Alex has a rant.
Oh, actually, you know what? Because I know that you made me watch this just so I would do that, fuck you. I'm not going to say that geology is my dislike. Oh, I'm going to say Braz's death is my dislike, because that fucking pissed me off. He's like the best fucking character in the entire movie. And then he's like, you know, oh, well, because of a thing, because I had to build the ship in 3 months, somebody has to go basically sacrifice themselves so that the Drildo can be slowly emasculated and launch bombs. And now we're going to draw straws, but I'm going to make sure that I get the short straw. And then Zimsky even fucking calls him out on it, and Braz is like, no, I need to sacrifice myself. And I'm like, you're the fucking engineer. You should have fucking let Keys and fucking Zimsky die, because honestly, if there was anyone who was going to figure out that your goddamn unobtainium could convert heat into energy, it should have been fucking Braz, because he made the fucking ship instead of Keys. Like, what did Braz die and Keys like absorbed his genius? No, fuck Keys.
Keys is the least useful character in this entire endeavor.
He seriously is. I don't even know why he's there, other than because he's supposed to get his fuck on with Beck, and it's the most awkward and awful thing ever. He exists to emasculate Beck, basically. Yeah.
He's supposed to be the smart one, though, because, you know, the whole scene with the pacemakers, where that's where he's showing off his intelligence, even though he's, quote-unquote, only a college professor, he's supposed to be the smartest person in the room, including Zimsky.
The super hilarious part about that was that, like, my housemate who was watching it with me was, you know, Keys is like, oh, it's pacemakers. And the military guy is like, wow, you did that really fast. You're super smart. And Karita was like, I figured that out when everybody dropped dead. So that's my rant. If you would like me to talk about the geology, I would be happy to do so if you have any questions.
I have a lot of questions.
I actually want to insert something here. I've been doing some Googling as we're talking, and it turns out that maybe he's not actually as cancerously dead as...
Oh!
Well, it's plutonium-239 that's in those reactors. Plutonium-239 is an alpha in a minute.
Oh, so it's just his face that's been cooked.
I mean, if he ingested the plutonium, he'd be dead. I mean, plutonium-239 dust or ingesting it is deadly, but just being exposed to it, maybe not so quite as immediately deadly as we'd, I mean, it's not as we used to think. I mean, if he breathed anything in, he's doomed. He's going to get the cancer for sure. But it's like sitting there in the fuel rods, he might actually only be cooked on the hands and the face.
So it's okay. We'll just remove his hands and his head, and he'll survive.
He'll be fine. He'll be a torso.
He'll be good.
With a detachable penis.
With a detachable penis.
Oh. Well, maybe those super suits helped him. I don't know. But anyway, he's not quite as the cancer machine that he could be, because...
Well, see, now I'm just sad because I can no longer imagine that Keyes is a giant wad of cancer and all of his sperm are dead. Thanks, Paul.
But I am justified. I am justified because my biggest complaint was, why the fuck aren't you wearing your safety gear, you dumbass scientist?
Well, that's good. So I do have a lot of questions for Alex. If it's okay, can I ask you a lot of questions of things from this movie that I just don't understand? Cool. So, first question is I think an easy one for a geologist, which is, Lithospheric plates come together, which type of plate boundary?
Convergent.
Okay, so you know that. That's good. Which of the following is not an example of metamorphic rock?
I'm not doing your fucking geology homework for you, Sean. I charge if I'm tutoring.
What is the sand of tropical islands made up of?
It depends on the source of the sand.
Oh, that's a good answer. Wrong, but good.
No, I would need to know specifically which island.
Does the core spin in one direction?
No. No, it does not. The core is actually made of a bunch of vortices, and that's the reason that the magnetic field has historically, you know, flopped back and forth, because it's basically, like, especially when Keyes was like, I need a model of the magnetic field, I was like, are you fucking serious? Because you can have a very general model of the magnetic field, but, like, a super precise model is still not really possible. As far as I know, I mean, research might have advanced in the last couple of years when I wasn't paying attention because I don't do paleomagnetism. But, like, basically, the core is so complex with the fact that you've got, like, different vortices interacting in different ways of, you know, like, spinning liquid metal in different directions and at different velocities and all that shit, like, you know, it doesn't all spin in one direction is basically what I'm trying to say. It's really complicated. Like, trying to model anything on Earth is super fucking complicated, especially because, like, you know, we have a pretty good idea of some of the stuff that's going on down there, but it's not like you can go look.
I'm sorry, Alex, but clearly the peach explained everything in this movie perfectly.
Oh my god. I'm so mad about that. Well, actually, no. Actually, the one thing that actually made me the angriest, though I think it really just shows that Zimsky is actually just a piece of shit as a scientist, is when they're like, hey, Zimsky, what is this random thing that can't exist that we're running into? Which, I mean, in that way, I don't blame Zimsky, but when he's like, well, the mantle is made of many different elements, and I'm like, we know what the mantle is fucking made of. It's true, I have not personally gone and looked. And by the way, I would also just like to note that the mantle is still made of rocks. They're just rocks that plastically deform instead of brittly deform.
Okay. So real quick question, like a legit question, because you know your shit better than I do. That whole bit where he's like explaining like the size of the mantle and like the crust and all of that shit. How much of that is actually legit?
Well, I mean, so when we're like talking about kind of the relative size of the crust versus the rest of the Earth, it is actually a really common thing to be like, the crust is the skin of the apple. The crust, like the entire zone where life is possible, is so incredibly thin compared to the size of the Earth. It is literally like the layer of skin on an apple.
So that part he got right. Sort of.
Yeah, I mean, that's like, you know, first year student shit, man.
Okay, but what about the rest of it? Like, the size of the layer that comes after it, and then, like, the inner core and the outer core, and all that shit.
I mean, honestly, I'd have to, like, actually just look it up, because I'm drunk and I haven't taught geology in a while. But, I mean, it's basically, like, you know, the mantle is pretty thick, and you have, like, the part of the mantle where there's brittle deformation, which is the lithosphere, and then you have the larger portion where there's plastic deformation, which is the asthenosphere, and then you have the liquid outer core and what they think is the solid inner core, but the problem is you don't really know necessarily because seismic waves don't travel quite the same through liquid, which is how we know it's liquid.
Ta-da! Got it. Okay, so it seems like at least that part, like whether the exact figures are right, that's a separate question, but
yeah, well, I mean, kind of like the hilarious thing I noticed with all of like the like every time he started throwing out like temperatures and distances and stuff. To be honest, I couldn't fucking tell you how accurate any of it was because he kept using imperial measurements instead of metric.
Oh, okay, got it.
Because he's not actually a scientist, and plus everything was like a nice round number, and I was like,
probably not that. But throwing aside the actual specific figures, for the most part, that specific scene where he's like explaining all that
shit. Yeah, that was not the worst scene.
That's not the worst part. It's all the other, like, the spinning and like all that shit. That's all when that just goes out the window.
Yeah.
Got it. So the Earth's core doesn't spin.
Well, I mean, the Earth's core does not all spin in one direction.
So it just goes all over the place.
It's you know, very complicated. Yes.
It sloshes.
Got it. Okay.
It's part of a complicated system. I mean, so actually, like, you know, that part is super annoying, but, you know, it's like, okay, fine, I guess this was written by somebody who never got past Geology 101 to be like, oh, there's a liquid core, and it moves because reasons, and that makes the magnetic field. Okay, like, that's fine. Honestly, the most absolutely egregious thing in the entire fucking movie is the goddamn geode.
I think that's the scene that they expected to put dinosaurs in.
Oh my god.
That would explain a lot.
It would explain a lot, right? Like, I think really this movie started out as basically Jules Verne's, you know, journey to the center of the Earth.
Yeah.
But with a drildo.
Accurate. Accurate.
And then the guy was like, no, it should be scientifically accurate. But he didn't actually know science, and this was the best he could do, because he had clearly only gone through 6th or 7th grade Earth science class.
And yet, yeah, we still maintain that it would be a better movie if...
with dinosaurs.
With dinosaurs, because then you could have, yeah, that great scene where Bruce Greenwood just gets eaten by a lava T-Rex.
Well, and I mean, the thing is, if there had been dinosaurs, then that would have been the real signal that, like, you know, we're talking Transformers levels of scientific accuracy, and we're not even fucking trying. Like, we are just gonna go down the street with our balls out and be like, yeah, we got dinosaurs, what?
See, and this is where they could change that other scene. They could just be like, look, all we know is, like, the Earth's core is not spinning, and, like, that has something to do with magnetism, but, like, we think there might be dinosaurs down there or some shit. And then they find dinosaurs, and they're like, holy fuck, dinosaurs are still around.
Who are all on, like, these massive, like, treadmills, and they're walking in the opposite direction to make it stop spinning.
Right! They're fucking with the spinning of the core, and they're like, oh,
dinosaurs!
Yeah. And then Bruce Greenwood's like, oh, fuck, like, fucking T-Rex is, like, running the wrong direction. God damn it. And he tries to go stop it, and then he gets fucking eaten. Right?
You're too young to... I think you're all too young to remember the early Choose Your Own Adventure books.
I had those books.
In book number 18 was called The Underground Kingdom. In The Underground Kingdom... the Earth has a miniature black hole in the center of the Earth. And as a result, you have an underground kingdom in the center of the Earth. And in this Choose Your Own Adventure book, you go visit the underground kingdom. Whoa. And there are terror birds, and there are Neanderthals, and all sorts of weird, wacky shit in the center of the Earth, because this mini black hole cools things down so that you can live in the center of the Earth.
And they all run in the opposite direction to try to change the orbit of the Earth?
Oh my
Is
God.
That what happens?
No.
Or maybe, no. Maybe they just run back and forth all in a big group so that they can make the core slosh?
No!
And that'll make the Earth work. Wobble in its orbit and knock us out of our orbit. And we should totally fucking write this movie and sell it to sci-fi.
Can you just imagine if the director of Birdemic and this guy were like, look, they're not going to let us make a scientifically accurate movie, so we'll just make some batshit crazy thing. And that's what we'd end up with, is you just have, fucking pterodons just, flying down from the sky and trying to peck their eyes out, and, T-Rexes on treadmills, and, just nonsense. It would just be crazy. And they get in there, and it'd be, a surreal nightmare. They were like a fucking, what's that dude's painting? The weird dude with the clocks that melt.
Dolly.
Yeah, be like a Dolly painting, and then they would set off nukes, and all that shit would just suddenly start becoming normal. And then T-Rexes would be in the real world, and they'd be hunting down people, and they'd be like, shit, we should just let the Earth die, because you guys fucked everything up, and now there's T-Rexes hunting everybody down in the streets. And they'd be like, well, that's just your problem. We're gonna go do other shit now. And then they go into a movie.
I think we've gone way, way, way past this movie.
So Sean, what's your dislike, now that I've talked about how I hated Bra's dying?
It's not the geology, because I just honestly didn't care, because I know nothing about geology, other than what I learned in high school.
And what Alex just taught you.
And what Alex just taught me that I've already forgotten, because I've had a lot of alcohol, so I don't remember.
That's okay, I don't remember what I told you anyway.
That's okay. All I remember is that, obviously, that the Earth's core actually spins, so that must be accurate.
Oh my god. oh, actually, no, and I have to tell you, okay, again, for the sake of the housemate, the part that she hated the most, or well, I mean, there were a lot of things that made her angry, but this is the one we haven't mentioned yet. You know how when they go see Braz and he like tests the laser and it punches the perfectly circular hole through the mountain?
For the entire mountain, yes, yes.
And first off, she was just like, well, where did all that rock go? And I was like, this is not a universe where the law of conservation of mass is a thing.
Nope.
But yeah, where did the rock go?
Well, and then she was like, and is this literally the first time he's ever tested that laser? Because there are no other giant circular holes visible in the entire valley.
That's true. There should be evidence.
She was just super offended by that. So I thought I would share.
No, this is why it takes him for fucking ever to get this thing done. And he keeps saying it's going to take him 10 to 12 years. Because every time he uses the laser, he has to go and fill the hole again. He spends like a year filling hole.
He's fixing a hole where the rain comes in.
Yeah.
Keeps his mind from wandering.
Well, and that just makes me love Braz even more, because he obviously cares about the environment.
Right. He wants to make sure that the holes don't affect the gopher.
Yes. Obviously. Yeah.
He cares about the gopher. Just as much as he cares about his pigeon, Frank.
He cares about everyone. Braz is the best and he loves everybody. So, Sean, what is your dislike?
My dislike. Oh, let me count them. So I actually hate two things about this, but for slightly different reasons.
Just two.
Well, I hate a lot of things about this movie. This movie is dumb as balls. It is really one of the dumbest movies we have watched. Like, it tries to make it seem like it's smart, but even when it's trying to be smart, it's dumb. Like, at least other movies we've watched where they try to be smart, it's like, you could see, like, they're making up bullshit. But it sounds like smart bullshit. It's almost like techno-babbly Star Trek. This movie, when it tries to make a bullshit, sounds dumb. It sounds like if you took like a couple of guys and you took them in the woods and you got them super drunk and they were like sitting around a campfire and you're like, look, explain how science works. And that would be happy. It's basically the Insane Clown Posse. That's what this is.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
Rainbows, how the fuck do they work? Magnets!
Magnets, how the fuck do they work? Yeah, so, but that's not what I hate, because that stuff's easy. The stuff that I actually really, really hate are Stanley Tucci and DJ Qualls.
I'm gonna hold Paul's camera bag while he fights you.
So here's the thing. I get why people like Stanley Tucci's character in this, but I just want him to die much sooner. Like, I want him to be the first to go, because he's awful. I can't stand him. Even his self-realization at the end is just like bullshit Conrad Zimsky kind of realization. Like, his whole thing with Braz, who's about to go sacrifice his life, is like, I wish we could have shared this thing together. And it's like, no, fuck you. You need to apologize to him in this moment and have an actual legit human moment. And not be a fucking douche canoe the whole time. But he doesn't get that moment.
This is not that kind of movie.
Well, fucking that's what I wanted, god damn it. So, the other thing I can't stand, I don't hate DJ Qualls, I hate his character because it's fucking dumb.
Which one's he?
He's the hacker, right?
Oh!
And by the way,
he does get that great Hack the Planet hackers reference. Which is the only redeeming quality about that character.
There's nothing redeeming about his character.
No, like, okay, so like, the cherry on the shit sundae of the terrible hacker character is at the end when he's, like, doing his Hack the Planet thing, and the thing pops up on his window and it says, on its way, and it's IT apostrophe S.
Oh, Jesus.
And I was just like, fuck you!
I didn't even see that.
Oh my god.
That's not why. Okay, so look. I hate this character. So if you remember the trailers when this movie came out, because they advertised this movie pretty hard, and there were like three different versions of his little bit about what he wanted to do the job. So there was like the Xena tapes and Hot Pockets, and there was like a bunch of like Sailor Moon, like there's all kinds of weird other shit that came out, right? And the one we get in the movie is that he wants Xena tapes and he wants Hot Pockets because they help him think or whatever.
The Sailor Moon reference comes from Keith, because he jokes about a T1 and Sailor Moon.
I know, but there are different versions of what DJ Qualls says. There's different versions of what DJ Qualls says in the trailer. I don't remember exactly what he says. I'm making it up. I just remember that it was slightly different things from what's in the movie. And they made it slightly more geeky and kind of, actually kind of creepy. But it doesn't matter. Whatever, right? His character for me is like, it's a hacker character, but it's not an interesting hacker character. They bring him in without any real, like, sense to why he's there. Like, we don't get any sense of why he's a super great hacker. They don't even fucking tell us. They just, like, randomly show at his house, and he's, like, magnetizing all his stuff, which I guess is what you do when you don't want the popos to find your stuff. But, right, and he's, like, shoving, like fucking, seriously, 2003 is still fucking using floppy disks. Like, are you fucking kidding me? Go die in a fire. But, yeah, and he's shoving them down the fucking chute, and he's trying to, like, grind them up or whatever, which he never successfully does, but whatever. Right, anyway, then we get to the end, right, after he's, like, hacked the planet, quote-unquote, how the fuck do you do that? I don't know. He can hack the planet, but he can't fucking get into the fucking Destiny place really quick? Are you fucking kidding me? Come on, shut up. Anyway, so they get to the end, right, and it's like, oh, like, maybe it'll get out, right? Hilary Swank and Aaron Eckhart / poor man Thomas Jane is like, like, we could do this thing if it just gets out, right? And so all of a sudden, it's DJ Qualls dressed as, like, fucking Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas dude with his fucking glasses, and he's in a fucking internet cafe, because, yes, that's exactly where you go.
It's called Cyber Cafe.
Oh, whatever. Even fucking dumber.
Can I say, okay, like, I mean, that character is a terrible character, and I just hate the... So his entire purpose is supposedly to keep what is going on hidden, to, like, just remove all traces of it from the internet, you know, and we can discuss...
For no reason. There's no reason given for why he's doing that.
Well, and the thing is, well, I mean, it's under the impetus of, you know, the shady government guys who also run Destiny, which every time I heard it, I was like, oh my god, it's the Scientific Project stripper name, which, and then I felt really bad for thinking that. But the problem that bothers me so much is that, so the end of the movie, it's basically like, oh, look at him, he's, you know, showing the unsung heroes and da 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 da. And the movie literally never addresses how fucking morally bankrupt it is to hide the impending disaster from the entire world, and that it is in effect his fault and the fault of the entire project team, that all the people get killed by the lightning that doesn't actually work like lightning works in Rome, and get fried by the fucking microwaves. Like, I saw that scene and just, like, thought of you. I was like, he's, like, got a little rage tear, like, going down his cheek, and it was so dumb, but I'm just like, basically, everyone who dies in these disasters is directly on their hands, and that is just never fucking addressed. And there is no reason to keep this all secret, because they should be being like, hey, a thing is happening, let's all come together and make the drill dough and get to the center of the earth. And by the way, everyone, make your concrete bunkers that you can hide in for when shit starts getting real.
Duck and cover, people.
Yeah. And that made me super mad about this movie. There was, like, no reason for that, other than they were like, we want to kill people with a random electrical storm, and then just nobody cares.
That blows up the Colosseum because reasons?
Because that is totally what happens when lightning strikes stone. Because science!
Why the fuck is the Colosseum, like, in getting lightning anyway? It's like, is there anything there that's conductive?
There might be some metal in the concrete, but not really. There's a lot more metal in Rome to hit instead of the Blake Coliseum.
In the interior, like, there's some gates and stuff, so maybe.
But, like, seriously, like, the implication is, like, it's the lightning is hitting the really important spots. And is the Coliseum really, like, there's gotta be more metal and, like, conductive shit somewhere else in fucking Rome.
Furthermore, I am really sick of them destroying the Golden Gate Bridge. That's my baby.
Well, like they said in Independence Day Insurgents, they always come for the monuments.
They always go for the monuments, which is fine. Go for the monuments, but maybe pick one other than the Golden Gate Bridge just occasionally.
I have to admit that in addition to destroying the Colosseum, they also wrecked the Wedding Cake Monument in Rome, which would not be the usual one you'd think they'd wreck. Like, the Colosseum? Yeah, makes no sense. But they also went for the wedding cake monument. It's like, yeah, that thing is this gigantic piece of ugly Mussolini, built by Mussolini, sits near the Colosseum and other stuff. Yeah, it's a white elephant that, yeah, no Roman will admit to liking, and it's kind of like there. So I didn't mind that being destroyed, even though earthly reason why that should be destroyed either. But the Colosseum, for reasons, not to mention, okay, so it looks like, okay, I'm sorry, I'm going to get on a rant now. So it looks like, okay, so this thing fills up with electricity and then explodes, and it's the explosion that kills all the people outside. They never address or even recognize the fact that the Colosseum is one of the most visited locations in all of Rome. So when the electricity was going in, there were probably hundreds of people inside that were fried to death. That's the real horror. I mean, you don't even have to explode the Colosseum. Just if you want to fill it with electricity and fry a few thousand tourists at one go, that would be kind of logical, but use electricity to explode the Colosseum? Because why? Because it looks cool? No!
But that's how you make popcorn human.
Because we have no... Well, and the thing is... lightning doesn't do that. The reason, you know, lightning can kind of make things explode sometimes is, say, you know, if you hit it and you do things like spontaneously boil the water.
Like, the sun's rays do when they find that convenient hole over California.
I love it. They all, like, go flooding in like soldiers who've spotted a breach in the wall. I mean, there's a breach! Charge! That guy gets, like, the super wicked sunburn on his arm.
Oh, God.
It can melt the Golden Gate Bridge, but just a sunburn.
I agree with you, Jen. Always going after, like, the Golden Gate Bridge, like, that sucks. However, I will say that I got a little bit of joy that when it broke and the cars were falling and they were lighting on fire, that brought me a little bit of joy.
Why?
I think because I'm having a bad day and I watched this movie today and I just kind of wanted to see the world burn and I got what I wanted.
Oh, Sean.
I'm sorry. It was funny. It also helps that the guy that was like getting sunburned and then burning to death was kind of a turd. But, you know.
I love that he just rolls his window up. Like, that's going to help.
Yeah, and that solves radiation, as you know.
And his car is not getting super hot, even though it's melting the goddamn metal of the bridge.
Well, as you know, if you just stuck a car inside a giant microwave and you just turned it on, you'd be fine inside the car. That's science.
As long as the windows are closed, you're good for go.
Right. This is the thing. This is why you can't trust scientists, because they've been telling us the opposite. But for centuries, we could be living inside microwaves and be perfectly fine, but they
perfectly
won't let
fine.
Us because they're so trying
to... So if you're living inside a microwave, does that mean that President Obama is watching you?
Hanging out with you and hopefully cleaning your microwave while he spies on Trump. Yes. Yeah.
This is true. And it's because people like Alex are involved in a global conspiracy to prove to us that the Earth is round so that we'll be forced to buy globes.
Everything in this podcast is true. I am a shill for the globe industry.
That's my favorite thing about, like, people who actually believe the Earth is still flat, is, like, what is the reason for the grand conspiracy to prove that the world is round? Like, what is the end goal here? And they'll always say, like, oh, it's, like, global domination. I'm like, by what? Like, convincing us to buy globes and what else? Like, what else is there to fucking look at? Like, I just don't understand. There's no logic to this. There's no reason to make us think that the Earth is round if it's flat. Like, there's no value to that. It adds nothing.
No, but I'm pretty sure that that's actually who wrote the core, is a bunch of flat earthists.
Well, and I mean, the other kind of hilarious thing about, so, like, all of the scenes with the drill dough, especially when they get down into the core, like, you can tell that whatever benighted company they hired to do the graphics could not figure out it's a dildo going through, like, a bunch of liquid. That's literally what it should have looked like. And instead they're like, we're going to kind of put this sort of, like, two-dimensional plane that's there, but then the explosions are everywhere. And you could just tell that they could not conceive of, like, I mean, it's like, guys, literally just imagine it like you're throwing a cigar into a pool, but it's orange. If you need to visualize it.
What's funny about that is that they had an entire scene where they're going through the ocean with a current not unlike what might have happened in the core, just a different color.
Like, guys, did you actually spend your effects budget on this? Or did you just, like, hire the boss's kid, you know? And then that fucking geode, man. I'm still mad. I will forever be mad about that geode. But see, like, the geode is normally the point at which I'm, like, too drunk to care anymore. And I just hadn't had enough to drink last night when I watched this movie, so.
I'm trying to, I still try to figure out how is that supposed to work? Wait a minute, if the pressure out there is so high, how are you walking around outside that geode? Why aren't you squashed like a bug?
That is a very good question to which there is no answer posed by this movie, because apparently the geode is just, like, empty fucking space. I don't know.
It's a special magical place.
It is.
Where things survive under intense pressure for no reason. However, they're still not smart enough to realize that they just broke a hole through the fucking thing until the lava starts falling.
Well, and you can tell, like, that when they came up with this idea and they were like, oh, there's amethyst crystals. Like, okay, this is getting into more nitpicky science, but, like, that is actually, you can tell that the screen writer was just like, oh, a geo, they have, like, quartz in them and stuff. I mean, that's the most common one, but that's also because quartz is among the most common minerals found on the surface. But the thing is, down in the mantle, the composition is not like that. The composition is mineralogically very different, and if it was going to be anything, it would be like olivine crystals, maybe.
I buy that.
That is just one of those little details where you're like, you literally have not even thought about this, have you? And you can actually find other kind of geodes that have different minerals in them, because it really just depends on, like, you know, what was the composition of the liquid that got trapped in that bubble when, you know, it formed. But it's just most often quartz, because there's a lot of fucking quartz on the surface, because it's on the surface!
Whoa.
Yeah. Because it has to do with differential melting, and, you know, everything is more silicate-rich up here, and it's not silicate-rich down in the mantle, so, yeah.
I can't wait to post this podcast just to be like, for your free geology lesson, please listen to the core.
You're gonna have a lot of fun transcribing this one, that's all I can say.
So much fun!
You might have to ask for some spellings.
Just make them up, it's fine, no one will know.
I think it's time. I think we've all done our dislikes. I think it's time to grade.
I have not finished mine. You all interrupted me in the middle of mine.
You don't get to say anything else. You're done.
You forfeited when you went to the little Sean's room.
I had to pee. I'm sorry.
You're done.
I have a bladder like a normal human being, and I've had a lot of alcohol and stuff. And I was talking about DJ Qualls, and you was all just went on and just did your own thing. It's just not fair.
He's awful. End of story. Grades.
I didn't even get to the end scene.
You're good. We totally talked about the end scene.
We didn't talk enough about it.
You might not have talked about it, except I will say one thing about the end scene. It's the whales!
That's not the end scene I mean. I mean the end scene when he hacks the world.
But this has been driving me crazy because they were actually putting Blue Whale Song over the orcas. Orcas whistle. They don't sing.
Oh my
sing.
God. Okay, you just fucking out-nerded me, Jen. Jesus Christ.
That's ridiculous. All right, we can officially move on now. We can just move on.
Yeah, see? I told you. Grades, bitches.
You've ruined everything. You've ruined everything, Jen.
You just ruined everything.
Just go over there and play with your drill dough. It's fine.
Wow. Oh my god.
Okay. So I'm actually just going to give this movie a C minus.
Are you serious?
What the fuck?
Even after the shit about Blue Whale Song? I can't even fucking take you seriously anymore, Jen. Not that I ever took you seriously, but
I know,
Jesus
I know.
Christ, what?
I know, nobody takes me seriously. It's okay, I'm used to it. I'm giving it a C- because even though all of the science, literally every ounce of the science except maybe the peach scene, was atrocious and painful, I love Delroy Lindo, Alfre Woodard, Stanley Tucci, Bruce Greenwood and Chaky Cario. It's not how you pronounce his name, but I'm drunk, so I don't even know anymore. I love all of them, and they were good. They were really good in every moment that they had. They were given, pointless script for the most part. But if you just, somehow pried all of the shitty fucking science out of this movie, and you made it about something completely different with those same actors, it would probably have been really good. Yeah, all I can do is a C-. It was painful, but not the worst.
Jesus Christ.
I'm sorry.
You should be. You should be legit ashamed right now.
I'm not actually sorry, because I'm just not. I'm too drunk to be sorry.
Sorry, not sorry.
A C- is the kind of grade you give to a movie that you would willingly watch again for reasons other than you want to fall asleep.
You've watched this 5 times, Sean. You get no word. No say in this whatsoever, Mr. 5 Times.
Did you not hear my sentence? You need to listen more.
All right, Paul, you're great.
Oh, dear God. Yeah, as Jen pointed out way earlier, I, to my shame, owned a copy of this movie. I'm not sure why. It had been a long time since I watched my copy of the movie, and finding it was skipping and stuff was almost got me out of watching this movie, but no such luck. Yeah, rewatching this again, what was I thinking in buying this DVD? What could I have done with that money instead of buying this DVD? There's so many other things I could have bought. I could have bought maybe a pie, maybe a double cheeseburger from McDonald's, maybe even something from Taco Bell. Any of these would have been a better choice. Did I bought a copy of this DVD. The only value that having this copy of this DVD is that I didn't have to rent it, pay for a rental of this movie to watch this for Torture Cinema. That's the only reason why I could see. Maybe I'm going to at some point send a message back by tachyons to my younger self to buy this DVD for this moment.
I had to spend $3 to watch this shit.
That's my point exactly. I did not have to spend that money to do this. Anyway, I think that if I gave this movie any sort of grade, even resembling a positive number, that my old geology professors, anybody in Ingersoll Hall at Brooklyn College would come hunt me down and kill me for the presumption of trying to give this movie anything other than the absolutely failing grade that it deserves. So I am just going to give it single solitary F.
Beautiful.
All right, Alex, what about you?
Well, I mean, thanks for having me follow Paul, because there's just no way I could actually follow that.
You're welcome. I did this just in spite of you.
So this is the thing. If I had been watching this movie with the geology club at CU Boulder, and I had been drunk enough to not remember the last half, and had pizza, which I'm not currently allowed to eat, so life is terrible, then I probably would only just give it, a D, because I'd be like, I don't remember the back end, which is the really terrible part. But I do remember everything about this movie now, and I will hopefully be able to forget after I drink a bit more, but... Oh, man. This is the thing. I was trying to locate with Paul while you were ranting. I'm trying to remember what the fuck I gave Mac and me. Because the problem that I'm running into is I think I was way too nice when I graded Mac and me back in the day. So the thing is, if you held a gun to my head and told me that my choices were watching either Mac and me or The Core, I would actually watch The Core.
I unfortunately agree with you.
Wrong.
No, not wrong.
1,000,000,000% wrong. You were as wrong as the mantle of the earth is thick.
So that's the problem, is I'm trying to remember what I gave Mac and me, so because obviously The Core should not get a worse grade, but oh my god, it's terrible.
I think you gave Mac and me a B-.
Oh, you're so full of shit.
I never lie. I always tell the truth. All the time.
D-.
A D-.
B-.
Okay. Yeah. Paul, this is what I want you to know.
Yes.
In spirit, I totally agree with your F.
But
I'm going to actually just give it a D-, because I don't want to give Sean the satisfaction of there being a movie that I hated worse than Mac and Me.
I can accept that. I'll take the F for you.
But yeah, you are totally right. And Mac and Me should have gotten an F too, but apparently I'm not allowed to retroactively change things, so I guess this one gets a D-.
Nope. We don't retroactively change grades, ever. That is your grade for all time.
And that's the problem. Like, I really wish that Past Me had given Mac and Me the F-, because forever I'm never going to be able to give anything a grade below D-, because I have yet to encounter anything that I hate as much as I hated Mac and Me. And it's not fair.
That's fair. All right, well, I got to grade this stupid movie.
Yeah, you have to do your grade.
So I have a problem with how I'm going to weigh this, because on the one hand, this movie is dumb as balls. It is awful. It is stupid. It's not actually that fun. I don't actually understand why there are whales in this. I just don't.
With the wrong kind of whale song, Sean!
Wrong kind!
There's that, I guess. I didn't notice that because I just don't give a shit. But whatever. So I've got all that on the one hand, right? Shitty characters, DJ Qualls being dumb in this movie and just not getting anything interesting to do and having a big nose. And then the fact that Alex hates this movie and it pisses them off as a geologist. So weigh these two things against each other. Determine my grade.
I just want you to know, Sean, that when I run for president against you, I'm going to be splashing all over the airwaves. Sean Duke doesn't give a shit about whales. Sean hates whales. He probably hates senior citizens, too.
That'd be great. I can't wait for the ads that say how much I like Mac and Me. I'm really looking forward to those.
Sean likes illegal aliens.
Oh. I mean, they technically are, yeah. Anyway, okay. But anyway, no, in all honesty, I just don't like this movie. It's not good. And so I honestly would give it a D-. It's not good, but it's also not the worst thing we've ever watched. It's dumb, but it's not the worst. We've watched worse.
Well, it's not Mazes and Monsters.
Mazes and Monsters is worse movie than this.
I mean, Mazes and Monsters was just so fucking boring, if nothing else.
Because it's also kind of offensive, too. Like, this movie is offensive if you're a geologist, maybe. But if you're like me, which, you know, I'm a dumbass liberal arts student who doesn't understand math.
I don't know how you can even tie your own shoes, because knots are mathematical, Sean.
I mean, to be fair, it did make us liberal arts people feel really good about ourselves that Aaron Eckhart couldn't actually tie his own tie. Because, like, that just says a lot. Like, we've been saying that for years about STEM people. Like, y'all are so dumb you can't tie ties.
It's so true.
So
I think
true.
You just pissed off at least half of our listeners.
Hopefully everybody just gets, like, this is all a big running gag now about just how stupid the whole STEM versus liberal arts thing is, about how, like, actually they both could just equally live together and enjoy life. You know, like, we don't need to be making this a competition about which field is smarter or more valuable, that they're actually equally of value and that we need to have both of them. Just saying, you know?
Just saying.
Like, for heaven's sake, there's a reason why a lot of science fiction writers are fucking scientists.
I mean, let's be honest here. Clearly, you need both STEM people and liberal arts people to write movies that are about science.
Except for this movie, because I'm pretty sure not a single STEM person signed off on it.
And I don't think a single liberal arts person signed off on it.
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, looking at the pacing and the plot structure, I'd question the liberal arts cred of whoever wrote this shit show.
Yep.
This movie shows you need both. This movie had neither.
Exactly. And that is why we should all come together and drink beer.
This movie was made by the porn industry. That's what this is made by.
No, if it was actually made by the porn industry, the plot would have been a lot more to the point.
There would have been a lot more Drildo in this.
It was really to the point, though. Just remember, we did just get the tip at the end.
Oh, my God.
An explosive tip.
An explosive tip.
Going at high rates of speed and bursting forth. Jesus. Listeners, I'd like to say I'm sorry, but I'm actually not sorry, so...
Sorry, not sorry.
We average out to a D- for our overall grade.
Sorry, that was me.
Yeah, but you and I cancel each other out, Jen, and so we wind up with a D-.
That seems fair enough.
But I was there with you in spirit, Paul. I was there with you in spirit.
Alrighty, so on that note, we've done it. We've gone through this movie. You're welcome.
Fuck you, people.
I hope you all enjoyed this travesty of a podcast.
And then it got some nice geology 101 from Alex. So.
And a little bit of marine biology. Boom.
And a lot of porn industry talk, you know? We're just like covering all the bases.
Basically, this is our most educational podcast to date.
It totally is.
You should give this to your kids.
Well, and we covered like meteorology as well in the whole lightning storm thing. Yeah, we just like
a little bit of Rome tourism. So yeah,
this should be in high schools like next week, guys. Like seriously, like throw that like Bill Nye the Science Guy shit out for like freshman high school or middle school.
Okay,
this podcast.
I'm afraid you're just gonna have to say awkward ending and scene, so I can go pee.
All right, and on that note, awkward ending and scene. Thank you for listening to the show. If you'd like to get in touch with us, you can find us at skiffyandfanty@gmail.com, on Twitter at skiffyandfanty, on Facebook at The Skiffy and Fanty Show, and on Patreon at patreon.com/skiffyandfanty. Our intro and outro music comes from The Launch by Chronux. You can find out more about their music at freemusicarchive.org.